Okay, to 23 minutes past 6, you are listening to your favorite learning station, Radio Islam, medium wave 1548. You are tuned to the In Focus program. I am Yusuf Asmalji. My guest in the studio today is Mufti Abdul Hussein Ilyas. And inshallah, we will be talking on the topic Mahdi. We've been covering that topic for some time now. Inshallah, this is our penultimate program on Mahdi. Inshallah, after 2 weeks, we will be concluding this topic and moving on to a new topic, inshallah. If you have any suggestions for us and you'd like Mufti Sahab to discuss any particular topic, please call us at the radio station on 854-7021 or 7022. And inshallah, we will try and put together a program for the benefit of the public, inshallah. And yes, last time we completed quite a bit of information about Mahdi. This is a phone-in program. You can call us on 854-6854 for any questions or contributions towards this program, or even fax us on 854-7024. Our email address is info@radioislam.org.za, and our email address is info@radioislam.org.za. That is our email address. You can fax us on 854-7024 or telephone on 854-6854. Inshallah, we're going to carry on with our topic, and we are going to talk today on how to recognize Mahdi. But before that, inshallah, Mufti Sahab's got two particular points or three particular points to go through. And please do call in, and we will take this program through until Isha. Don't forget, after Isha, inshallah, depending on the program that's taking place in Mayfair with Marana Ashraf Ali from the United Kingdom, we will be crossing live to Mayfair Masjid to bring you this program. As we heard that Marana is not too well, and inshallah, if Marana feels well, the program will go as planned. That will be brought to you live on Medium Wave 1548. Let's carry on with our program on Mahdi, and we say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Mufti Sahab.
Wa alaikum salam. Respected listeners, and Brother Yusuf, before continuing discussing about the physical features of Mahdi, I would like to mention a few points. Firstly, that one of the signs of the coming of the last hour, and preceding obviously the last hour will be the coming of Mahdi, it comes in clearly in many ahadith that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that people who do not have knowledge would begin to comment on deen, and those who are not proficient or not educated in the intricacies of deen will now begin to issue verdicts, rulings, and those who are ignoramuses basically will be commenting on deen. In this age here, we have got access to media. Every other person takes out a newsletter, magazine, and begins to push the pen and write whatever they want to. And you have journals floating around. In one journal I've seen, so-called reputed journal, they had a person writing, and he was denying openly the perpetual existence of Jahannam. Why? To please the kuffar, he wrote that eventually Jahannam will be destroyed and everybody will go into Jannah. And no one contests such articles. Then we have now various in our country radio stations, and callers calling in, and sometimes even presenters who have got no knowledge of deen, who are brought in and they comment on deen. As a result, what happens, that people feel that this is an authentic, reliable radio station. Meanwhile, the person who they brought in, due to not making proper screening and research, that person blurts out blasphemous statements, and that goes on also. Then we have those who go on to the media of television, projecting themselves as political analysts and dynamic scholars of Islam. They say also whatever they want to say. So this flood of wrong information is from all angles, and the public should rely on authentic, reliable ulama to guide them at every stage and step at level, so that we get good, reliable rulings being issued. Otherwise, this will go unabated, and unfortunately, the ignoramus will be issuing fatwas and rulings and comments on deen which are totally far away from deen, not close to deen. But this is one of the signs of Qiyamah, this is one of the signs of the hour. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that ignoramuses will become the so-called experts in deen, and the non-qualified will become leaders. Non-qualified, those who do not know the laws of a particular issue, will now become the leaders in that issue. And the other point I want to mention is that before the coming of Mahdi, the awaited savior, a man by the name of Harisa would emerge from beyond the Euphrates River, and before him will be another by the name of Mansur. The former Haris will be preparing the minds of Muslims to accept Mahdi when he comes. He will perform the same task for Mahdi what the Quraysh performed for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina before Hijrat. Mansur will aid him in this direction. And according to a hadith, it will be necessary for Muslims to help this Haris or to respond to his call. The pious elders will be on the lookout for Mahdi, knowing that he will soon come to save the Ummah. There will be a fight in Mecca between the Arabs and between three people, each one being the son of a ruler over leadership of the Muslims. But none of them will gain the Khilafat or the leadership or the governorship. This fight will take place in the month of Zulqa'dah. So the fight is going to take place in Zulqa'dah, and even this fight will go on until the Hajj duration in Mina, until the blood flows and reaches the Jamarat. All this will occur in the same year as Mahdi's coming and Mahdi's nomination or Mahdi's appearance. An army will come from the east towards Arabia. The east, in the hadiths, they talk of Khorasan. And Khorasan is northeastern Iran, which includes the borders of Soviet Union or Russia and Afghanistan. They will pave the way for establishment of Mahdi's kingdom. This army will be carrying black banners and flags. Nothing shall stop this onward march, and eventually they will plant their flag on the soils of Jerusalem. This army will seek the leadership of Arabia. The current leader will refuse to hand over the Khilafat. A fierce fight will take place, the likes of which Muslims have never ever experienced. The army from Khorasan will eventually be victorious, and it will eventually be granted the leadership. Now, that is as much as just before the Mahdi is discovered and his appearance is noted by the populace. In this session, I would like to mention his features.
Okay, Mustafa, before you go on, there's a question. You spoke about people who are not knowledgeable to talk on certain aspects of deen. The consequences of their statement, like you spoke about someone who wrote something about Jahannam will be destroyed. What are the consequences of people making such statements?
In fact, this is a very interesting discussion, meaning that it leads to issuing or stating of blasphemous statements. And unfortunately, let alone those who have got access to pen or writing or journals, that in our daily lives, if we have to listen And if we have to listen carefully to what we are saying, then unfortunately many a time a Muslim says things which take him out of the fold of Islam. And it takes him out of the fold of Islam like how a bullet leaves the gun or an arrow leaves the bow. And immediately when this happens, the nikah of the person breaks. He will have to now come back into the fold of Islam. But unfortunately, in most cases, the sayer of the words, of these blasphemous words, does not even realize that I am saying things which are taking me out of the fold of Islam. And in many gatherings, when you have some gatherings, unfortunately, where there are non-ulama and incompetent people who are announcers, who are speakers, and who want to delve in Islamic issues, they issue statements which are completely contrary to the deen of Islam. Like, for example, they will say that we are living in South Africa, we are living in a country which is not a Muslim government and Muslim ruled, so we should compromise and we should leave the divine law and go under their law. By just saying that, that means you are taking the divine canon prescribed, stipulated law of Allah, and you are taking another law and putting it above that. Once you say that, then you go out of the fold of Islam. And people say this and are classified now scholars, or they are doing a lot of work and they are scholars, they are dynamic.
Okay.
Then also your second point you spoke about, I think it's Harish you mentioned.
Yes.
Very interesting, you said that it will be necessary for people to respond. Can you maybe just elaborate on what do you mean necessary to respond? What are the circumstances under which people will have to respond?
Respond when that person, Harisa, comes out with his army from Khorasan. And by the word respond, we will mean, first of all, that we will say this is an Islamic cause. And by respond, we will mean that our financial support, our du'as with them, and if possible, to go there physically. Because according to another hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even if you have to crawl on ice and snow to join them, you should do so. So in the light of that hadith, it will mean that if you have got the ability, capacity, and if you have got the potentiality of reaching that place, then physically you should get to that place and try to avail your talent to aid the Muslims' army. But alhamdulillah, the Muslims generally will respond financially, morally, and with their du'as, etc. And the mere fact to know that that party, that group is on the right and it's a prophesized party, to be on their side, that will be a response.
JazakAllah for that, Mufisab. And let's just remind our listeners that you can call in to participate in this program on 8546854 or fax us on 8547024 or 5. Our email address is info@radioislam.org.za. And inshallah, we'll carry on with the topic now, and Mufisab was going to carry on with the recognition.
I will be describing the physical features of Mahdi, and the reason, the underlying reason for describing, and you'll notice the description will be in detail, is very simple. So that one be educated who is the Mahdi and not be fooled by the imposture, not be fooled by the fraudulent claimant, not be fooled by the one who hallucinates and thinks he is getting inspiration and declares himself to be Mahdi, meanwhile he does not even look like a proper Muslim even. So when we describe the external features and the signs of Mahdi, is to educate ourselves and the listeners that this is the particular description of Mahdi as recorded in the ahadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because deen of Islam is easy, complete, and giving us full guidance. So the Mahdi, he will be from the Ahl Bayt, meaning that he will be from the progeny of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And according to some sources, that he will be from the lineage of Fatima and from the lineage of Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And overnight he will be initiated into the status or position or rank of Mahdi. From this we learn that perhaps if he is alive, he will not know that he is the Mahdi, because overnight he will be divinely inspired and taught what he has to know in order to become the Mahdi. In the field of tasawwuf, there is what we call transmission of good qualities towards the latter part of certain saints. They did this with the will and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to their successors. And it is very famous that when Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi passed away, the next morning when Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi gave the speech, one could not make out who was giving the speech, whether it was Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi who was buried, or who was this new person who is exactly imitating and has got the same spirit, enthusiasm, courage, valor and concern just like Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi. So this is very logical, and we have seen it in the history of Islam. So Mahdi overnight will be given these qualities, these notable attributes, so that he will be able to lead the Muslim Ummah. According to the description given, that he will have a wide forehead. And some of the translators have stated that he will have a hooked nose. However, that translation is not very good. We should say he has a raised nose, meaning the noses of that day, of those people, his nose will be slightly more raised. And he'll be descendant of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, as I have stated. It is stated that his tribal contact will be Abu Abdullah, and he'll be a well-built youth with a very handsome face. His hair will be reaching shoulder length, and his hair color stated is going to be dark black, and his beard going to be black. And this will be contrasting with the brightness of his face, with the nur emanating from his face. He will be lightly brown skinned and slender, of medium height. Obviously, he's going to be at the age of 40 when people are going to recognize him. And his eyebrows are going to be fine arched. Can you imagine the descriptions being given that to the minutest details? The eyes are going to be dark, and he will have white teeth with gaps in between them. His legs, they'll be slightly bowed, and he will be slow in speech. According to another hadith, that he will be one who occasionally stammers. And there is a difference between stammering and stuttering. So he will be occasionally stammering. And as a person who is speaking and lecturing and orating, because of this stammer, he will at times strike his left thigh with his right hand. Now these descriptions, alhamdulillah, that are coming down from the ahadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are for the very reason that we should not be fooled by any person who's claiming. Because in the corridors of history, there were people who were squint-eyed, they were trying to claim that they are Mahdi. And there were people who were not even having proper eyesight claiming that they are Mahdi. And there were people who are not from the Ahl al-Bayt claiming that they are Mahdi. And there were people not even understanding the principles of deen claiming that they are Mahdi. And there were people who were not descendants from Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha claiming to be Mahdi. And there were people who, when you looked at them, could make out that knew where they were near Islam, or no celestial light was on their face to denote any sign of Islam on them. As I mentioned clearly, that the reason why we have got these descriptions is to make sure that we are not fooled by any other person claiming to be Mahdi. The hadiths in Tibrani state that he will have a black spot upon his right cheek. So can you imagine? He's got dark eyes, black spot on his right cheek, his broad forehead, and he's got black hair coming to the shoulder, and he's got a very Nurani face, he's got a black beard, and he is one who's got a raised nose, he's stammering occasionally in speech while he's orating. He's taking his right hand and striking it upon his left thigh. Why? Because a person who wants to speak and speak quickly and speak rapidly, at times he does not want to be hindered by the words not flowing from his mouth. And he will be clad in cotton cloak, meaning simple clothing, cotton clothing, very simplistic outlook, and he will resemble a person from the Bani Israel. And that must have been the clothing of the Bani Israel, a cotton cloak and simple attire. And he will reign, he will, according to some ahadiths that he is ruling, will be for 7 years, according to some 9, and according to some 10. And the treasures of the earth will be taken out for him. Even according to some ahadiths, that there is a treasure in the well of the Haram. The Haram, as you know, has got 3 wells. One is the Bir-e Zamzam, and one is the Bir-e Dawood, which is towards the Misfala section of the Haram. And one, there is a well in the Kaaba itself, which has got many treasures and gems and precious items, and it was left there. It is stated that when the Mahdi comes, he will utilize the resources of that well also. The Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in one hadith that he will resemble Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in character, but not in appearance, because there is a discussion in certain books that will he look like Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there are so many narrations, some of them weak, and some where the point of acceptance is that he will resemble Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in character, but not in appearance. And that is, for a Muslim, the most important thing, that a person, a righteous person, is one who imitates and follows and adheres to the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And once a person is able to do that, then he is on the way, on the road to salvation and success. So these are the signs, alhamdulillah, of Mahdi, the external features. And when he comes, he will fill the earth with justice. He will fill the earth with fair play, and also assist all those who are oppressed, and remove oppression and remove tyranny. This is according to the hadiths in Abu Dawud. And the hadith of Abu Dawud says that he will rule for 7 years. And when 7 to 8 years, in one hadith of Abu Dawud 7 years, in another hadith 8 years, and when Mahdi comes, then there will be abundant rain, and the earth will bring forth the plants, the herbs, and whatever it has got, and that will multiply in great numbers for the benefit of mankind. Because before he comes, there will be certain controlling factors. In many areas of the world, basic necessity of food will be cut off by the tyrannical powers of the world. And as stated long ago, that for example, there will be financial boycott and there will be food boycott to the places of Iraq and Syria and Sham, and those areas will be experiencing food shortage. Therefore, when Mahdi comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings will also descend, and he will be able to provide them with food, grain, basic necessities in a short period of time. And there'll be so much abundance of wealth and food and grain that Mahdi will give to people, and he will be saying to the people, take. But the people will be saying, no, they do not require, they have got enough provisions for the wife. His real name will be Muhammad bin Abdullah, which I forgot to mention. And according to some narrations, they say that even his mother's name will be Amina, father's name Abdullah. So as far as those aspects are concerned, he will be like Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose mother's name was Amina, father's name Abdullah. So in relationship to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's names, Mahdi will be having the similar meaning.
The physical description, you know, we come to a broad forehead, raised nose. Let's leave the descendant of Fatima, and then we go on to well built, shoulder length, I think, hair, you said.
Yes.
Black hair and beard. So just going through brown skin, slender, brown eyes. I think just by looking at him, you won't be able to just recognize him. Am I correct by saying that? Because some of these features are quite common in lots of people. You know, if you take like the hair, today lots of people also keep hair that style, so to say, with a black beard, you know, broad forehead, lots of people have got. You probably, just by looking at him once, you won't be able to recognize him. Am I correct in saying that?
What you're saying is valid. That is why previously we have spoken about the righteous and pious from especially Iraq and Syria will proceed to the Haram to recognize him. Because obviously, as you are saying, that many are those who have got these features. But the ulama and the righteous and the pious are those who are going to see into it and say that this is the person. And as we go on, we will come to realize that after that fight in Zilqada and the problems during the Hajj in Mina, and then he will go away, he will leave Mina, etc., and come to Makkah. And in Makkah, it is stated in one narration that he will go away to a place behind the Safa and Marwa. He will go away, according to one narration, to some premises behind Safa. And then they will have to go and seek him out, bring him. When they bring him to the Haram, and whilst he's making tawaf, Shah Rafiuddin Rahmatullah Alayhi has written in his book Alamat al-Qiyamah that between the Rukn-e Yamani and the Hajar al-Aswad, there will be a voice from the unseen stating clearly the proclamation, proclaiming that this is the Mahdi, take back. Swear allegiance to him. So there'll be now no doubt that this is the person. I agree what you are saying, that perhaps we get confused. However, that the pious around him, the righteous around him, will be seeking him. And they have already brought him out for making of tawaf. And now comes the sound and the unseen voice stating this is the Mahdi. And inshallah, then people will take bath. According to one hadith, that there will be 313 at the initial stage who will take bath with him, and then the activity to mobilize and the activity to go forward and to rescue the Muslims, to rescue the oppressed, and to free the people from tyranny and oppression will start.
So before we go on, we have a caller online. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Fatima, you on air?
Jazakallah. What I want to know is, Jazakallah for a very interesting program. It's keeping us in touch with the actual fact what's happening with the events in the world today. So what I want to know is, Mufti Sahib said something about, you know, things being very difficult in Damascus and Syria. What we are now seeing is just the beginning. Because, you know, the Americans, as you know, they're planning to go back and bomb Iraq. What we are now seeing in terms of historical facts is just the beginning of the time when countries like Syria and Damascus that will undergo lots of difficulties.
In fact, if we know that Iraq at the moment is under so-called boycott, and what the Hadith has spoken about, that there will be a financial boycott on Iraq and then Syria. And the boycott on Iraq, if we have to analyze it in the light of the Hadith, that has started already. And now the next official move could be that the world or the West, especially the Americans, decide to boycott Syria financially and for food. Because of boycotting Iraq and not supplying them with medical supplies, the Iraqi children are dying by the hundreds daily. So what you are saying is true, that it has already started, and how far it has got, that I cannot tell you.
I just would like to know also, in terms of the situation in Saudi, we know that there's going to be, like as you say, wars between the groups who are trying to take over. Has that got to do with the seventh house of Saud?
The present one.
Yeah. Will these people, the present government as we know it, the regime that's now running, will they be part of this group that will be fighting for leadership? But we know that a lot of what they're doing is to protect their own rule in Saudi at the moment.
On this issue, that inshallah next week when I come back, I want to present a case or a scenario and try to link up all these hadiths that I've mentioned with the current political situation that is there. Then inshallah in detail next week I'll answer this question. And basically, yes, to be brief with your question, yes, they are, I think, are going to be involved in the current situation or the current difficulties and problems.
Okay, jazakallah.
Okay, jazakallah, Fatima. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, it was quite interesting, before we move on, I've just got one or two more questions. We speak about cotton clothes again, and you also mentioned that he will come from, you said, the tribe of Bani Israel.
No, he will be resembling.
Resembling.
He will be resembling persons from Bani Israel. Not for
the description of the people of Bani Israel. How will he resemble? What do they wear that you say cotton clothes?
Cotton, basically referring to simplicity. Now, he will not be a person that will be wearing very expensive clothing. Simply dressed, simply clad, and he will be modestly dressed. And if you look at the description, given of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, because Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was the Nabi for the Bani Israel, and if you look at the description given of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and if you look at the description of Mahdi, then that comes close. Because when we look at Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and subsequently if you look at Hazrat Isa alayhi salam even, then you will see long hair coming to the shoulders, you will see simple clothing, simple food, you will see that they were having fully fledged, fully grown beards, and also that staff in their hand, moving about from place to place. So the cotton clothes that has been referred to here, giving the idea, is going to be a very simple person. Because there is one discussion in certain kitabs that will Mahdi be an aerodynamic person? Would he be a person holding a rosary in his hand? Or will he be a person holding a firearm in his hand? And the opinion is very clear. He will have definitely, inshallah, a rosary in his hand, and he will be looking and imitating the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also that utilizing all the resources that are available around him.
Where this listener who called in and asks, how will one know who are the Ahl al-Bayt? Where are they?
As far as the Ahl al-Bayt are concerned, yeah, there's an interesting discussion that the Ahl al-Bayt, who we call the Sayyids, and every now and then we get people claiming that I am from the Sayyid Khandan, I am from the Sayyid tribe. And as soon as we tell them, okay, if you from the Sayyid Khandan, and especially if you from the Banu Hashim Khandan, the tribe, then you cannot take zakat, because in the book of zakat it is written clearly that those from the Banu Hashim, they must not take zakat. They are not recipients of zakat, and the sayyids are not recipients of zakat. Then many of them backtrack their claim after that. Now we have got many who say they are sayyids. Who is actually a sayyid? There is no now classical definition that a sayyid, maybe he's got one raised nose, or he's got two gaps between the teeth, upper teeth, or he's got a particular type of hair texture, or he's got a particular color of eyebrow, or his eyebrows are designed this way. There is no nothing written like that. There are some very ludicrous things stated that, you know, if you want to make out who's a sayyid, that, you know, you have to put him amongst the lions. The lions will not eat him. And the sayyid has got no blood on his fingernails. Now all these reminds you of Greek mythology. And where they get these definitions, we do not know. However, the person who says that he is from the Ahl al-Bayt, he will have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say that I am from the Ahl al-Bayt. However, here we must understand that Mahdi is not going to go around and say, listen, my name is Abdullah, my name is Muhammad, and my father's name is Abdullah, and my mother's name is Amina, and I am from the progeny of Fatima, and, you know, I am the potential Mahdi. There is no such thing like that. This is where the difference lies. That he is not going to go around claiming that, listen, look at me, maybe tonight I get this divine inspiration and my life change and I'll be the Mahdi. No, it's not going to work like that. But he, out of his own movements, will be doing this activity, that when there will be a dispute in Mecca concerning the leadership, he will come away from Medina, he will come to Mecca, and then proceed for Hajj and the activities that I described to you.
We have a call online. We have Brother Ahmad. Assalamu alaikum.
Hello, alaikum salam.
You on here, brother?
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Mufti sahab, I just want to know, is according to the Quran and Hadith, is Palestine part of Sham?
Palestine is not part of Sham.
Also, but according to a book I read, Imam Mahdi will be somewhere in Sham, and it will be unbearable for him to live. Then he will then emigrate or migrate from Sham to Medina or Mecca. Is it true?
Which book have you read, this in?
I read in one of the books, Signs of Qiyam or something.
See, Sham is mentioned. Maybe, perhaps you may not have read it or write or go read it. Oh, Sham is definitely mentioned. And as you have raised a good question, that what is Sham? Now, Sham is an old term.
Yes.
Sham will include Yemen, Jordan, Syria, Iraq, Iran, not Iran, Iraq. Those parts of those areas make up Sham.
Besides Palestine.
I do not think, I stand subject to correction, but I do not think so Palestine falls under Sham.
Because, I mean, right now it's unbearable for the Muslims to live in Palestine at the moment.
Well, definitely it is unbearable, and part of the responsibility of Mahdi will be to come and to free Jerusalem, free Palestine, inshallah.
Yeah, but he will move away from one of these places wherever the difficulties are.
Yes, no, I mentioned prior to your call that he will move from Medina.
Yeah.
He will move from Medina to Mecca.
No, but before he comes to Medina, he'll be coming from another place, am I right?
I do not think so.
Because I don't know Mufti sahab, maybe I have read the book wrong, but I'll check up the book again.
You're welcome.
Jazakallah.
Yes, we've got about 6-7 minutes left before we conclude this program. And the number to call in is 854-6854, or fax us on 854-70245. The email address is info@radioislam.co.za. Shala, let's carry on. I may be playing, I don't want to use the word devil's advocate here, but you spoke about times being good, where the harvest will be good, there will be plenty of food available. People may take this as a fairy tale. Can you explain a little bit on what do you what is going to be? I mean, it's just not going to happen, or is it just going to happen?
You see, as far as this is concerned, even the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have got narrations whereby Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if the Muslims are righteous and pious and fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then whilst they are asleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let the rain come and cause their harvest to blossom. And when they get up, they'll find it is sunlight, shining, bright, nice, a good weather. And that applies to any group of Muslims in any country, that when the Muslims are pious and righteous, then the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend upon them to such an extent that whilst they are asleep, the rains will come and the rains will cause harvest to become plentiful. Now when the Mahdi comes, and as I told you, that when the Mahdi comes, there will be food shortage purposely. Now we can see perhaps purposely created by the enemies of Islam, and the enemies of Islam will be cutting off the food supplies to the innocent Muslims, let alone innocent Muslims and non-Muslims of the areas surrounding Hijaz. So when the Mahdi comes, obviously the help of Allah, the Nusrat of Allah, the support of Allah is going to come, thereby the vegetation is going to produce so that there will be no starvation, there will be plenty of food for everyone.
Okay, now Jazakallah for that, Mustafa. Let's carry on with the topic.
You see, when the Mahdi, when he moves from Medina to Mecca, then, as I told you, that he will not be happy with the situation, with the circumstances, and he will practically flee. So we say that he will leave. He does not want to take the responsibility of Khilafat. He does not want to take the responsibility and duty of the government at that time. But he will come away, and people will be convinced that this is the man for the job, and he is the person to be brought. And he will be, as I told you, discovered between the Rukna Yamani and the Hajar Aswad. And according to one narration, that the people will take him towards the Hajar Aswad.
Okay, we've got a call online, Brother Ahmad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Maulana, I just wanted to know, Dajjal, will he be coming in before Imam Mehdi's, before they see Imam Mehdi, or after they see him?
This is a question that I have been talking about, and I'm happy you raised it, that understand the sequence. The coming of Mahdi first.
Alright.
Then Mahdi, obviously, alhamdulillah, he'll have certain activities which I will mention next week, what he's going to come to do. Then, when he will be in Damascus, in the Jamia Masjid of Damascus, then Isa a.s. will come down from the eastern minaret, coming down with two angels. And the Salat time will be up, according to some narrations, Fajr, according to some narrations, which were more Asr. And Mahdi will say, Hazrat Isa a.s., that you go and lead the Salat. So Isa alayhi salam will tell Mahdi that you go and lead the Salat, because the Ikama has been called for your Imamah. Subsequently, whilst they are there and mobilizing, now under the guidance of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, the news will come that Dajjal has appeared. So that is the sequence.
Okay. Jazakallah.
So I was explaining that the Mahdi will come, and he'll be taken to the Haram, and the pledge will be taken in front of the Kaaba. As mentioned, the sound of unseen sound will come while she is between Rukna Yamani and the Hajar Aswad, and the pledge will be taken at the Hajar Aswad and Maqam Ibrahim. It is stated that the signs of Qiyamah are that the Maqam Ibrahim will be raised up and the Hajar Aswad will also be raised up. And we do not exactly know when this will happen, before Mahdi or after Mahdi. I get the opinion that it will be after the coming of Mahdi. So the call will come from the heavens that this is the appointed Khalifa of Allah, the Mahdi, that you should take back. So the initial people will be totaling the number of 313. Now everybody is saying that they are going to be amongst the 313, and 313 has got a significance, because it is stated that the number who were in the Battle of Badr were 313, the number that who faced the Jalut were 313, and the number who will be initially in the Battle of will take allegiance to Mahdi will be 313. Now, as soon as the Mahdi comes into the action, as is to say, then there are going to be various battles and various occurrences that are going to take place. First of all, he is going to mobilize Muslims. He is going to bring them under one banner. And there is going to be consensus that he is the Khalifa for the Muslims. And he is going to guide now the Muslims through these difficult and trying times which we are experiencing at the moment. And next time would become that is two Mondays from now, that I will mention to you what Mahdi is going to do. When he obviously is going, that is going around, what we should do and how we should view the situation. There are many who are saying that, making prophecies, that if the present ruler of Saudi Arabia passes away, that will be the time of the trouble. Some are saying that, no, if the Pope passes away or dies, then there is going to be the revolution taking place. I have read about this, I have listened to this also, that many are saying some strange things. And also that when we come back, we will try to coordinate the eclipse sign, that before the coming of Mahdi, there is going to be a lunar eclipse and a solar eclipse. So people are phoning me privately and asking me that, Mufti Sahib, why don't you just tell us over there which year he's coming, and then we can carry on with our lives. Here I want to mention something, that we should not be complacent. There are many signs showing or denoting that it is ripe that he should come now, that we are now getting battered around throughout the whole world, and there are international conspiracies against the Muslims. At every corner of the world, they are trying to suppress, oppress Muslims, only Muslims. And now is the time for him to come. However, we should not be complacent, that we should be preparing ourselves and equipping ourselves to the utmost, and we should be relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not lay back and say that, no, let us get a beating now and wait for Mahdi, and when Mahdi comes, he'll sort out everything. No, this should not be our attitude. Our attitude should be that we should make the best of the worst of times, and we should prepare to the utmost, spiritually, firstly, then morally, and then financially, and also militarily, to try to sort the situation out, the current situation out, exactly as the situation stands, and not feel that, no, we just have to wait for Mahdi and he will come here, wave one magic wand, and things are going to start happening. Another thing is that although we say that we want the Mahdi to come, when the Mahdi comes, the times are not going to become rosy overnight, and it's not going to become so cozy overnight. Because obviously he's going to come, there's going to be difficulty, there's going to be problems, and there's going to be a lot of military action, and there's going to be escalation of warfare, and there's going to be that time to give life, blood. And at the moment, unfortunately, we are in such a position that we do not want to leave the cozy bed and go for Fajr Salat with Jamaat, or you don't want to leave the bed and make your salat even, and then how can we be ready to say that I'm ready to give my life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you are not able to give simple things in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay, Jazakallah Muqtisab, and I think that brings us to a close of today's program, inshallah. In a fortnight, we will have our concluding program on the topic Mahdi, and it sure seems to be or going to be very, very interesting, inshallah. Quite a few aspects Muqtisab is going to cover there. And just a reminder to our listeners that you could call into the radio station on 8547024 and give us some suggestions on what should our next topic be on the In Focus program with Mufti Ilyas, inshallah. And also, I've been informed by our reception staff that we have got copies of Qasida Burda and Zikra Ilahi. We have only got 50 cassettes of each and 10 CDs of each. So if you do want some, please do call into the radio station. We will not be reserving any copies on the telephone. If you do want copies, please do call into the radio station. Inshallah, don't forget, after Isha, we have a live crossing to Mayfair Masjid for the program that is taking place there. From myself, Yusuf Asmalji, Mufti Ilyas, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.